This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in a half hour, our VinFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, is going to join us. I know he was tweeting about the fight over the weekend. He obviously saw what happened with the Chiefs and Bills. We'll talk about that with him in a little bit.
Probably had trouble with Netflix like everyone else.
Oh, I'm sure. I saw some of the tweets while it was going down. And then, of course, in the 1 o'clock hour today, our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor from The Athletic, going to join us, I believe, in studio today. We'll see. A lot to get caught up on with him. See if he has any update on potentially what they could do at left tackle. Last week, we asked about Donovan Smith. Was yesterday's performance or 2 days ago's performance jarring enough that the phone call is happening? We'll find out from Nate Taylor. But how's your morning going, Cody?
Long. I'm not going to lie to you.
Why is that?
It's not going great. Well, you'd think it'd be going great because the ruse stomped someone last night by 100, you know?
Yeah, that's why I figured
you'd
be in a good mood.
I should be feeling good, even though the Chiefs lost a couple of days ago. As you know, I am currently driving a 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan for my friends at Volkswagen Lee Summit. A car that is my very first new car I have ever owned. Love it.
Okay.
It's been a joy to drive.
I don't like how this is starting.
It's been a joy to drive. Love it. On my way into work today, I got rear-ended. Ooh. And it pisses me off so bad.
Well, yeah.
And I was cool with the guy because, like, he's already having a terrible morning himself. So it's not like I need to make it worse. He was in a work vehicle. So, like, not only does he have to deal
means
with, like,
you know, he's definitely got insurance.
Yeah, he's good for it, I think, is at least the end. But, dude, I just got it.
That sucks.
I just got the car. And then when you're talking to insurance, he's like, oh, no, I'm so sorry, your baby. And I'm like, lady, I don't have time for this. Just give me the claim number so that I can get this thing fixed. Just the worst. You know how it is. I've been in a car accident of any kind in 15 years. Long time, right? Really long time. And it's like, you're just sitting there, you're driving down 635. Anybody who drives that highway knows it comes to a slow around the river point. And then sure enough, we're slowing down. I stop for the car in front of me, only to feel the 2500 Chevy work truck ram into the back of my car. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Was it one of those where, like, you know, some, you guys have all been in the spot where you're on the highway, you
and you're
know,
like, are they gonna hit me?
You know, you're stopped, and you can see the car coming, like, oh no, I don't know if he's gonna slow down.
I thought they were coming a little fast, but I'm like, eh, they're always coming a little fast here. That guy will stop.
That sucks.
And then rammed directly into me, and I was like,
ugh. Now you feel fine? No, like, no.
At the moment, I feel okay. Yeah. You know, you always gotta keep an eye on those things.
The neck pain or
anything? I don't know if I need to call DM injury law, but you know. We'll see.
Tomorrow, wake up. I mean, honestly,
if it's a little tight,
see how you are tomorrow when you wake up, man.
Well, and the injury policy might have to go up, but just a pain. Just a pain.
Well, yeah, that sucks.
And then you got to, like, enter 1,000 things into a piece of, you know, I don't want to do any of this.
Yeah. So obviously, could have been way worse, right? Could have been way worse.
I'm fine. Nobody else was in the car.
Yes, we all know, like,
the driver of the other car is okay.
When your car is as new as yours is,
it's,
yeah,
it's
like,
so
you
new.
Don't, you know, like, it would have sucked 3 years from now, too, but, you know. It's not even a year old.
Now,
so
I will say, kudos to the Volkswagen Tiguan for its impact resistance.
There you go.
Car actually looks pretty good on the back, considering it got rear-ended by a gigantic work truck, and I feel good. And nothing inside the car seems disheveled. Like, I held up great. Like, if we're looking for the bright side, I didn't know how. Like, I didn't want to ever find out if my car was crash resistant, but I would say it passed the first test with flying colors. Ideally, the first and last test. But yeah, what a pain in the ass. Terrible way to start your morning.
Yeah, no, I mean, that sucks. I feel bad. I knew something was up when I walked in this morning and you were on the phone.
I wasn't even at the desk, and I'm like, I'm on the phone.
You were on the phone for a while. I'm like, what is going on this early in the morning? Yeah. And then I looked, then you said, look outside. And I looked and I was like, oh no. It's obviously drivable still, but yeah, it could have been worse. But honestly, see how you feel tomorrow when you wake up. You might be a little sore tomorrow.
Yeah, you never know, right? I mean, I would say they hit with some decent force, but like no airbag went off or anything like that, right? So it wasn't, you know. The hazards came on immediately. Never had a car do that. I thought that was kind of nice.
Oh, really?
The car's like, hey, look, something going on here.
In case you didn't feel it. In case you didn't feel it. Got rear-ended.
In case you didn't know, something happened here. I was going to throw these hazards on for you. Just make sure all's
cool. It wasn't your fault. At least it wasn't your fault, because then it'd be an even worse morning for
you. No, and as a responsible driver, you would think sometimes in that case, because the car in front of me was stopped.
Yeah, did you hit
get
somebody?
Bumped into the next one? No. Lady got out of her car, and she's like, I don't even think, I heard them hit you, but you did not get me. I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? And she's like, I don't see anything. There's nothing. I didn't feel any impact. I was like, okay, well, I guess you're good then. The two of us will deal with it. Look, he seemed
you're
like,
in a better mood than I am. I'd be hot right now. Like, I'd be pissed off right now.
You've come to the realization, Cody, that there's nothing else you can do about it.
For
so
now.
Just take it.
Yeah, the
text has a work truck at you. Your neck is hurting.
I'm
feels
serious.
A little stiff. I honestly got feels a little stiff, but I don't know. That could have just been stiff because I slept weird. I'm 40. I wake up with a stiff neck all the time. Who knows?
See, you're on the radio. This is all recorded audio. No, your neck is hurting, Cody. It is. Yeah, it is hurting. It is sore. Tomorrow, you're going to be really sore.
If I'm really sore tomorrow, don't you worry. I'll be heading straight to the doctor with that claim. I'll be straight there.
All right. Well.
God, just sucks. But I'll say, you know what? It's the guy, people could still drive off or not have insurance or a million other things could make this situation worse. The guy was cool about it. He had all of his insurance stuff. He got to see
a listener.
Quick.
Does he listen to the show?
I don't know if he's a listener. I didn't ask.
If it was you that could hit Cody this morning, call in 913-586-7965.
We know for a fact somebody that drives around in our work truck is our P1. Yeah. Those are our listeners. So is there a chance this gentleman, and I don't want to say his name, but is there a chance this gentleman is a listener?
Yeah.
I wake up with a stiff neck all the time. I don't know. It's a pretty tough start to my morning. I was happy about UMKC.
We'll get to that.
I was happy to watch them put a beat down on on a school, but the rest of my morning's going pretty poorly.
All right. We'll get back, I'm sure, to this at some point today, and we'll see. Cody's got like the claim paperwork already printed out.
Yeah,
and
I
got all
like,
this stuff.
Trying to get this thing online, but it's a business account. It adds a whole nother challenge.
In the meantime, let's talk about some football, though, and the number one seed conversation, I think we all realize, gets more interesting because of what happened on Sunday. And I think the next three games for both Kansas City and Buffalo really decide this. Maybe you want to include Pittsburgh in this. I still find it hard to believe that Pittsburgh ultimately is going to be a huge factor for the one seed. I understand where they're at in the standings. They just beat Baltimore, excuse me. But I believe this is still a Chiefs and Buffalo conversation. And because now that Buffalo has that tiebreaker with the head-to-head win, I look at the next three. Buffalo has San Francisco. They're on a bye this week. Then they have San Francisco, Sunday Night Football in Buffalo. And the 49ers are not the same team, but it's still going to be a tough game. At the Rams, Sean McVay and the Rams, never a pushover. Then at Detroit versus Kansas City's next three, at Carolina, home to Vegas, home to the Chargers. And the Chargers game looks more challenging now than it did a month ago. The next three games, to me, will tell us if this is going to be a situation where the Chiefs almost will have to win, you know, the Steelers and the Texans games, et cetera.
Yeah.
I think you need at least one, if not two, Buffalo losses in their next three games to not be in a position where you have to beat both Pittsburgh and Houston. So, like, as in the Buffalo Bills could get to 14 wins as well if they do not lose during the next three games.
I think it'd be kind of foolish to just completely eliminate Pittsburgh from this conversation. And I say that because I thought the Ravens was going to be a loss for them. That felt like a loss for them, right? In a lot of ways, like that felt like the team that they were supposed to lose to. So you're like, well, if they're not losing that game, well, then I can't just like pencil in a lot of losses for the Steelers, even though I don't take them seriously. Their next three opponents, they are definitively better than the Cleveland Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Cleveland Browns. They finish with four games, I would say, in which it's more of a toss-up for at least three of them, including Eagles, Ravens, and Chiefs. But, I mean, those are three teams that they're definitively better than. I don't think we can argue that. Not that Cincy can't beat them, it's a division game. But you can't be penciling in losses. I'll still call them a long shot as the Steelers. So let's talk about the Bills. The Bills are a real problem because of the tiebreaker. As you look at their schedule right now, I'm going to have a hard time predicting that Kansas, you know, that they are going to lose a game to New England or the Jets in the final three. I'm not saying it's a 0% chance because, again, it's a divisional game, But dude, what do we get? 5% chance in any one of those individual games? The Bills are so much better. 10% just because it's a divisional game? They're so much better than those opponents.
The Jets will have no chance. And the Patriots, for one, I could see it coming down to the wire, making it interesting. Not the Jets.
So because you don't have the head-to-head, the question you have to ask yourself is how many wins do you think the Chiefs win with? And because of this loss, I think the Chiefs finish 14-3, which means in order for the Chiefs to get the one seed and the tiebreaker not to matter, I need the Bills to finish 13-4, which means I think the entire one seed is getting decided in the next three games. Kansas City has to go undefeated, in my opinion, or at worst 2-1, and they're going to have to win some other tougher games later if that's the case. Carolina, Las Vegas, and the Chargers. And I need the Bills to lose two of the next three games. Against San Francisco, at the Rams, and at Detroit. At Detroit, that's an easy one to count a loss.
I mean, I feel like that almost has to be a loss, doesn't it? Not that it's a guarantee, but like if a guarantee that they lose, but meaning if we're doing the math, trying to figure out the number one seed to where the Chiefs don't have to actually get to 15 wins, you feel like the Detroit one has to be one of the losses on the schedule for Buffalo for that to happen.
I think so, but so I guess I'm counting on that. Football's weird. You know how this works. They'll somehow lose to San Francisco and the Rams and then beat Detroit. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. I guess NFL. That's why I say 2 out of 3. In my math, I'm counting that one. San Francisco and the Rams are the perfect opponents back-to-back, in my opinion, because both of them are definitely team the Bills are better than. But both of them know how to win, have good quarterback play, are annoying. I guess the only question I would ask is, what was the most recent health update on Brock Purdy? Wasn't there one last night late?
Sore shoulder or sore throwing arm or something like that. Now, remember, they don't play for 2 weeks because Bills are on a bye. Then they come back on Sunday Night Football. So there's time before they play Buffalo.
I guess the next three games, not the next 3 weeks, to your point.
Yeah, it is something definitely to monitor on the Niners front. But what you said about the Rams and Niners is true, which is we know they're well coached. Those will be games in which Buffalo is clearly favored in. The Niners are not this daunting NFC juggernaut the way they have been the last couple of years. But to me, they can still win any week, right? They're still in that position for me. Yeah. They can win any game. They can also now, though, lose a lot of weeks that we wouldn't have thought were possible. But the number one seed conversation, as we expected, with the loss to Buffalo, becomes a real conversation. Versus the Kansas City one, it was over. That one game was a big swing for the number one seed. And ultimately, what we're talking about is the bye. Like, I would love home field, have games at Arrowhead, but it's more about the bye. This team had such an early bye week, the Chiefs. Such an early bye week.
They need a break.
Whereas here we are. I mean, the Bills are having their bye week now. Huh? So great timing for them. They could have a bye now and get another bye week in a month and a half or whatever it would be if they get the one seed. Whereas Kansas City, you feel like, as much as it's just about playing at Arrowhead, it is, to me, about the bye week. This team has been banged up all year with the early bye. You only need two games to get to the Super Bowl, but also if you're Kelce, if you're Chris Jones, if you're any of these guys that have been nursing injuries, you need that extra week off.
No, you do, and that's why it becomes, but that's also like, we knew that this was the swing game. Now, I guess the only advantage is at least you're up a game, right? You're not tied and already don't have the tiebreaker. You've at least got the game.
Right, just you can't tie.
But yeah, you have to lose the same number of games they lose. I think there's actually a realistic chance based on the way Buffalo's playing. You have to win out to get the bye, but to get the one seed. Certainly, if they win their next three games, then it's a lock. They're not losing any of those final three games. No one's going to be doing you a favor week 17 or whatever it was, like Miami did, remember, for the Chiefs to give them the one seed that year. Sometimes those things happen, but you better not be counting on it.
We've also seen this exact scenario before, though, where was it last year or 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago, where the Chiefs seemingly were in a bad spot. And by the way, they're not in a bad spot, but a couple years ago, they were in a bad spot, and it looked like Buffalo was in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And then Buffalo laid an egg or two, and they blew it. And when they had a chance to control the path to the Super Bowl, and they blew it. So it's not as if we haven't been in a scenario before where it seemed like, oh man, things are looking much better for Buffalo on a schedule, and then they still coughed it up. So we'll see if that actually happens. Now, the odds that are out there will tell you Kansas City still -185 at FanDuel to be the one seed, Buffalo +240, and then Pittsburgh 9.5 to 1. So the odds are still in the Chiefs' favor, given the fact that, as you said, they have a one-game lead on the Bills.
This kind of goes down to like what we were talking about a lot, I would say, with the Royals towards the end of the season. The great news for the Chiefs over these next 3 weeks is because the Buffalo's got to take a bye week too. The great news for the Chiefs over the next 3 weeks is they can, by winning at least the next two, eliminate the number of time available to catch him. That becomes vitally important for the one seed, as you well know. Less so in a football season where one game's the difference, but you got to try to run out the clock. And you are not hitting a better part of your schedule than right now. Buffalo's on a bye. They can't do anything. It's a net zero. They got one more win than you, but one more loss in the loss column. So by winning this week, you guys are exactly the one game apart that you would say, which is the Panthers. And honest to God, if they lose, then the one seed's dead. Right? If they lose to the Panthers, the one seed's dead. We all agree?
No, it's not dead.
Dead? You don't want to call it dead? They lose to the Panthers?
I wouldn't be dead. We would have major. We'd have even a much deeper conversation about what is wrong with this football team. But the one seed wouldn't be dead because you just said it. They'd be tied and they would have the tiebreaker that they would have lost to Buffalo. But if they at that point, it would be they would possibly, in my opinion,
have to win out.
I don't think they actually are going to have to go 15-2 to get the one seed. I still think 14 wins ultimately gets it done because I think the Bills will slip up in the stretch we're talking about. I still think ultimately Kansas City's 14 wins gets it done.
If they lose to the Panthers, I don't even think that it's not even a conversation about it doesn't matter what seed they are. They seem to then figure out whatever's wrong before they get to the playoffs.
It's more about 100% with you, Drew. It'd be just way more like what the hell's going on with this football team kind of thing than anything else.
I think it would eliminate the one seed because I just don't think you can afford. I think you can only afford if you're the Chiefs, and you might still lose the one seed. You can only afford two losses the rest of the way. That's it. You got to go 5-2 the rest of the way in order to get the one seed, is my opinion on the matter. I don't think 13-4 will get it done because I think the Bills get to at least 13-4.
Yeah, I don't think 13 gets it done either. But if they lose, they're not guaranteed to only win 13 games, I guess is what I'm saying.
Sure, but like, I understand because they could still win out. But if they lose to the Panthers, I no longer.
But they lose
think
to the Panthers, it's only two losses.
Sure.
They could still lose two more.
I understand, but I guess at that point, like 14, like I think you can only afford two. And if you lose to the Panthers, I don't think you're only losing two.
Well,
like the Panthers are one. I don't think you're going.
That's what Drew
and
I. Yeah, that's where Drew and I are saying. It's just like they obviously would have much bigger problems.
Well, mathematically, they would not be eliminated. That I understand. I think they would not get the one seed if that were to be the case.
Thinking, how the heck do they lose to the Panthers? How does it even happen?
They're not losing the Panthers.
I don't think so either.
Honestly, like, give me a reason why they're losing to the Panthers.
They have
Jonathan Brooks do anything for you guys? I saw he was going to be
his first start. The Chiefs, a running back. If anything,
I was just looking for like one thing.
Running backs haven't had more than 55 yards against them all year, or whatever it is, 60 yards, 55 yards, something like that.
The only way that they lose is if Wanye, for whatever reason, comes out of the game and it's Kingsley at left tackle, and all of a sudden it's just like it was against the Broncos, but it can't be replaced. Like, there's no fixing it.
Yeah, just I
or
would also
Drew,
say,
or like, Driscoll plays, and it's
I would also say,
bad.
Like, who the hell is rushing? Like, who's on the their best defensive lineman is hurt.
Honestly,
on the Panthers, who's actually rushing the quarterback in Carolina these days?
In fairness, if it's Kingsley playing, based on what we saw against Denver, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean,
they have no wide receivers. They're on a 2-game winning streak. I guess that'd be like
Xavier Leggett, man. This could be
the only argument.
All right, Jadeveon Clowney is the only player, and
that's their best pass.
He's probably like 40 at this point.
I think he's actually having a pretty good season too.
He is,
but still, that doesn't matter. The other interesting part to me of this is because like that game really brought up what I think everybody wants to be. Everybody wants the Manning to Patrick Mahomes Brady. They desperately seek it, right? It's why we ended up with Burrow and Mahomes, Allen and Mahomes, Jackson and Mahomes, right? They just keep trying to hit it over and over again. I will say that I still think Josh Allen is the closest thing we get to that. And I think it only takes one thing for him to become the Manning to his Brady. Win the MVP this year, win the Super Bowl. And then I think it is firmly that. If he's never going to do those things, then Patrick Mahomes is apparently just never going to have a counterpart, right? Like, if Lamar Jackson won the Super Bowl this year, he would be the biggest competition for Mahomes for that reason. But in a lot of ways, would it not feel the same? Even though he's got two MVPs in a Super Bowl? Is it just whoever wins the Super Bowl first gets to be called the Manning to the Brady?
It is whoever in the AFC during this era can either beat Mahomes to get to a Super Bowl, or if the Chiefs just lost earlier or something and you didn't have to face them, you get to the Super Bowl and you actually win it. That guy becomes that. Now, if it's you know, an outlier. Like, let's say somehow the Steelers get there and Russell Wilson wins it. And obviously, no, Russell Wilson is not Mahomes' Manning to his Brady kind of thing. No, but if it's Jackson Allen and in any other year, if it was Burrow, like that was what we would be saying. Stroud is even if in the Texans last night still at times did not look good to me. I know they ended up winning by a lot, but if you watch the game for about 2.5 quarters,
that game was
for 2.5 quarters, it was. I mean, I don't think, well, I just don't believe Stroud will get to Super Bowl this year. But even if Stroud got to the Super Bowl this year and beat Mahomes, does he leapfrog Allen and Lamar for the head to head competition thing? I
still
don't
too
know.
Young. Just they feel like a one off.
Now it depends. I mean, they're going
to
play in December, and then if they played in December and then he beat them in the playoffs and
only
won
a second
Super
year
Bowl,
in the league,
then I think then it gets really really interesting. But Josh Allen is the closest thing. We know there's a huge gap, but the closest thing to Mahomes in the NFL. And if he gets his first MVP and actually won a Super Bowl this year, then yes, Josh Allen immediately fits the entire Manning profile in this conversation.
Do you think they really have to win the Super Bowl though? Because to me, you can make the argument of what you just said. If you just beat Mahomes and you get there, then you could be that. That's
you can only be that if you win. Well, Manning won. He won 2 Super Bowls and 5 MVPs.
But to me, I don't think if Josh Allen beats Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, he is Peyton Manning to his Brady because Joe Burrow can't be that because the Bengals haven't been good enough consistently where they always are playing. The Bills have been consistently good enough where they've always played, just like the Colts and the Patriots always were. And then the one year they finally beat, I don't even know if they won the Super Bowl, they might have. But he finally beat Brady, and that was the moment where I think, okay, Brady has competition. Like, if it took that. I think if Josh Allen beat Mahomes in the playoffs, I think you can officially say he is the Peyton Manning to Mahomes as Brady in that conversation because they play each other so often. It wasn't a conversation. It's never been a conversation because he hasn't won in the playoffs when it's mattered most. If Josh Allen beats Mahomes, I think regardless of whether they win the Super Bowl or not, he is Peyton Manning in this conversation.
I think you have to have hardware. Like, I'm just dead serious. I mean, Peyton Manning had 5 MVPs and 2 Super Bowl wins. I think in order to be like the lies into his whatever, like to be the opposite, you have to have accomplishments. That's Burrow's problem. No Super Bowl titles, no MVPs. Allen, no Super Bowl titles, no MVPs. Lamar Jackson at least got a part of the equation.
He's got the MVPs under his belt. I mean, the head-to-head playoff win is a huge part of the equation, but you have to A, get to the Super Bowl after beating him. So like if you beat Mahomes in the divisional round, you can't then go lose in the AFC title game the next week. And then if you get to the Super Bowl, at some point you have to actually win it. So maybe it is just as simple as whichever one of these 3-4 quarterbacks we talk about in the AFC with Mahomes, whichever one of them gets the ring first in a year in which Mahomes is, you know, actually healthy and playing, not a year if sort of somehow the Chiefs weren't in the picture. Otherwise, I don't know how just winning once in the playoffs just automatically makes you that.
No,
I
mean, you have to finish the accomplishment.
Because to me, if the Texans go and they win the Super Bowl and they beat Mahomes one time, CJ Stroud is not Peyton Manning. He is not Peyton Manning. It's not enough to if CJ Stroud goes and wins it, he is not Peyton Manning to Mahomes.
I mean, because God, he would have a Super Bowl title. That's one piece of hardware the other three guys don't have.
He wouldn't automatically
be discussing it, but we wouldn't want to put it into paper.
It would mean likely 2 games head to head, and that's it. To your point, now
they have to play every year for like 5 straight years, and that's where to me Josh Allen's the closest thing because they played 9 times in the last 5 seasons or whatever.
And that's why again, if he wins MVP this year and were to win a Super Bowl, then it's easily done. Like then he's accomplished all of it to fit that billing. If CJ Stroud won in December against Mahomes and won in the playoffs against Mahomes and won a ring this year, and I just don't again I can't. It's hard for me to even say that out loud because I just don't think the Texans are that good this year. But if that happened, then he's basically 2 or 3 more games away playing for Mahomes for having 5 games against him, and he would already have the ring and a playoff head-to-head, then he would be there. Like he would have he would be right on that path. I don't know if he immediately overnight becomes the Manning to,
but with one MVP or like one more playoff battle, he probably is, right? Like, I mean, I just think in order to be the person that is opposite, you have to be in the same conference, play all the time, and have hardware. Like you can't just be like a really good quarterback who does some nice things. You have to have accomplished something. Because in otherwise, Gold, to your point, do you ever actually feel like a threat to Patrick Mahomes if you don't win Super Bowls? What the hell do I care what you do? Do anything you want in a regular season game, an individual post, do all that stuff. If you're not winning Super Bowls, you're not a threat to what I'm doing here. Because what Patrick Mahomes is about is winning Super Bowls. You got to stop him from doing that every once in a while in order to be the, like, Manning-Brady comparison or the other ones that have existed throughout time. What's funny is we thought we'd have the answer by now. We don't have it. We have a lot of really good, great quarterbacks who offer occasional challenges to Patrick Mahomes. None of them have stepped up as the, you know, the direct rival. Like, that's what's different. Never, no one has ever stepped up as that. Can we talk about UMKC for, like, 2 minutes? Somebody, I got multiple texts last night asking, why would UMKC beat up on this poor school Calvary last night? Final score, in case you missed it, 119-19. Yes, you heard me correctly. 119 points to 19 points. An absolutely ludicrous figure. Don't get on the court if you don't want the smoke. You don't have to schedule anyone.
This school.
If you're Calvary, don't get on the court if you don't want the smoke. UMKC over their last four games are outscoring their opponent by, like, I'd say 60 points on average, and that includes two top 15 opponents. Can't be complaining about what you're doing. UMKC's killing it, beating teams by 100.
They won against Calvary College, which is a private Christian school in the area. Enrollment's like 400 and something. They lost by 100 to UMKC. Like that, I mean...
100.
That is wild. The leading scorer had four points. They had 37 turnovers. 37 turnovers in the game. This was what it sounded like to put UMKC up 75-11.
Came in shooting almost 40% from the three line on the season. Look at the hustle by Foss. Keeping it alive. And they do! And catch Grady! Rams it home!
I feel like they clearly couldn't protect the basketball, but in the second half, if you're down 75-11, don't you just have to, like, just run some, like, almost like run the clock down even as the opponent, as an offense? Like, drain it and make sure, just try to run some offense a little bit and just dribble it out and try to slow play this so you don't lose by 100?
I watched a portion of this game because, you know, the morbid curiosity, once you see that it's like 80-9, right? You're just like, I mean, I got to kind of see, right?
Credit to the broadcasters for not mailing it in at that point.
He was excited about that layup, even though the game at that point was completely out of hand. I mean, maybe, but like my whole stance on like beating up teams is once you are in a collegiate level setting, no more mercy. If you are an elementary school kid, you play a high school sport, rein it in a little, okay? You don't need to beat someone on a football field 70-0. It's unnecessary. The second you step foot at a collegiate level and you are an illegal adult, beatdowns are on. There is no mercy. You are allowed to do whatever the hell you want. Did they need to run it up to 100? Probably not. I don't think you get to 119 if you're not trying to run it up a little. They weren't playing press man or anything, but I mean... just like every layup was available. I mean, you got to be shooting threes to score. Like,
part of me feels bad because it's a local, very small college. Obviously, these are probably a lot of kids that just are wanting to continue to live out their dream of still playing.
Yeah,
hoops.
Good for them. They got out
there.
You know,
it's a very low level college basketball that we're talking about. But I also think like one of the better high school teams in the state would have put up a better fight.
So you think like Oak Park? They've got some
pick
good
Oak
basketball.
Park, you pick Liberty, whatever. Shawnee Mission, Northwest, whatever.
Do you think a good high school team puts up more than 19?
I do. Yeah, I think it was based on the amount of turnovers. And you're telling me the high school team's turning the ball for more than 37 times? Like, I don't think so.
You're not saying they're going to win, which is good.
Of course. No, they're going to lose by 70 or 80 still, not 100. That was bad. I mean, that's bad. I feel bad. I do kind of feel bad because they're a local school as well. But Kansas City Roos got it done.
Two local schools. One local school just absolutely taking it to the other one. Sorry, Calvary.
I mean, we'll ask Vinny Pasquantino this. He's going to join us next. Our NFL insider. Back in his high school days, did he ever beat down, and this is college we're talking about, but in high school, did they ever beat down an opponent quite like that? We'll also get his thoughts on the NFL next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
He's had songs written about him without asking for it.
Pass Quintino, I want it. Now it's time for Pass Quintino.
Mythological creatures and sandwiches have been named after him.
Beefy and Italian.
And he also thought the Davante Adams trade was going to save the Jets.
The damn Jets.
Welcome back to the show, our Vin FL Insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
Yeah, it's time to check in with our VNFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. To start off, we were just discussing prior to the break, Vinny, locally, Kansas City UMKC basketball had a 119-19 win, a 100-point victory last night. In your high school days or maybe college days, do you have a story about you guys maybe just completely destroying an opponent anywhere like that?
No. No, I do not. Never been a part of anything quite like that. I'm breathing hard. Sorry.
Yeah, are you? Are you running?
I'm in the middle of a workout.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
What are you working on? You doing some like lunges? What's the?
No, I'm on a bike. I was going to do it on the bike, but there's no way I could talk while being on the bike. So now I'm pacing outside our facility right now.
Trying to catch your breath for a second.
No. Go ahead. I'm locked.
Okay, you're good. Which, hey, the other thing I wanted to ask you about before we got to football was you were asking on Twitter one of the best, like, chain restaurants, Applebee's, Chili's. You didn't know what 54th Street was? That's a Northland treat. Will you come back to
town? I
lived
on the Plaza for 3 years, and I've never gone anywhere else. I normally just order food. We don't have a whole lot of time to go out that much. So
you're saying when you and your wife have a off day, you don't just like hit up 54th Street?
So I go to Potbelly for lunch. Potbelly is my favorite spot in Kansas City. I pretty much go there. I'm a regular at Potbelly on the Plaza. You guys are probably, not you guys, but anybody listening have probably seen me there at least once. And then for dinner, I go to Prime Social. That's our spot.
Nice.
Or Ocean Prime. And then we go home. That's it. We're pretty simple people. Or we order food. I like... there's some burger place called like Smokehouse Burgers or something. I think that place is very good. But that's about it. We're pretty simple.
Were you able to actually watch the Tyson Paul fight on Friday? Because of all the buffering mess, I gave up, man. I gave up and I was done with it. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it on my phone. That's how I was able to get it. I don't know how to feel about it, but good for them. They made a whole lot of money.
Well,
so,
that's the thing. Is like if you approached it just knowing it's entertainment, but like if you were expecting it to be, you know, Crawford versus Mayweather or something like that back in the day, like that, then you were never going to be pleased.
Yeah, I'm just shocked that you're allowed to bet on stuff like that because you don't really know what's going on. Like, I don't know who commissioned that and allowed it to bet. And I guess everybody bet on Tyson. So
yeah,
Sportsbook won. They won big this past weekend. So good for them.
Vinny, after the Chiefs and Bills game on Sunday afternoon, did your opinion of either team change?
No, not really. It's kind of what I said last week, I think. It's going to be a really good game. Enjoy it. And the Bills ended up winning. Are you guys feeling okay? You guys haven't lost in a whole long time.
It's been a bit.
Since Christmas last year, you know?
Yeah, do you guys know what to do waking up this morning? or was it gloomy out yesterday morning? It feels like the sky's fallen.
It was. It rained the entire day yesterday, like the whole city knew.
Yeah, that's a message from the heavens, I guess, that it's just a tough day in Kansas City.
Would you like to remind us how to handle the Sunday after a loss?
Well, it depends. I don't think you guys need to do the type of therapy that I need to do for losses on Sundays. So, no, I think you guys can just enjoy it. I think you should just enjoy it. That's a different experience. Just enjoy kind of the pressure's off a little bit more now, you know? Lock back in, play some solid football, go undefeated the rest of the season, win the Super Bowl. You know, 20-1 or whatever it would be still sounds pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to our VNFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. The number one seed conversation becomes a little more interesting, though. That's what we were discussing a couple of...
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because you went to Buffalo last year and won. So, you get to play more football if you don't get the one seed. Now, the players might not like that, but... I'm sure as fans, it's fun to watch your team play in meaningful games.
There definitely is more football, and I'm with you. We know they can win on the road. That's not a problem. I think the only question I would have this year, Vinny, is they had such an early bye week. They had it, what was that, week 8, I think it was, something like week 7 bye this year. And so that extra bye, not the home field, but the extra bye to me with how banged up they are is a big deal.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially in the sport that's so demanding physically. Like, you want that time off, but I'm sure that, especially if they can lock up the one seed by the end of the year, that they'll take that last week off. You would think, well, I guess if they have the bye, they wouldn't need to because they'll have the bye.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's such a weird – I don't know. The Chiefs are the funniest story in football because it's like, if it wasn't the Chiefs and it wasn't Mahomes and all the guys that have won, you'd probably be asking different questions, but there's so much trust there. It's like, okay, when the time comes, they'll show up. We'll just go from there. Instead of hoping that they will, they will. So it's definitely fun. Who cares that you lost to the Bills? But it was a really good game, and, you know, Bills won.
In a couple of minutes here, Vinny, we're going to let you unveil your power rankings for your top five. But I think you can speak to this as a player. So there's people asking Jerry Jones if the team has quit on Mike McCarthy. There's people asking if the Jags have quit on Doug Peterson. Do you think teams can just quit listening to a manager or a coach?
I don't know. Maybe in a sport like that, where especially with, I guess it's really uncommon in football to have a coach on an expiring deal without extending him or firing him before it gets to that point. So maybe, I think that it's tough when you're losing and it just kind of feels like your season's over halfway through the year to really listen. It's not that you're not listening. It's just like, you know, sometimes it's just harder to do, especially when your quarterback goes down, your owner talks to the media every week and kind of lights up your whole team, which is kind of he's done it his entire career, but it's definitely an interesting move, especially now with how every bit of information is out there. Yeah, I think there could be a bit of, you know, what are we doing here, guys? Like, you probably think that Trey Lance should start playing football for them now.
Yeah.
Just to see what you got. But I don't know. It's a tough question because you just never know what's going on inside a clubhouse.
In a lot of ways, the way you describe it is like, it just feels more like a job probably at that point. Like, it feels harder because it feels more like work versus like this job is fun.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Now, at the end of the day, nobody wants to hear that when you've got guys making $30 million and $20 million. You know, like, sure, when you're well compensated, which I don't know a professional athlete that even on a rookie deal is not well compensated. Like, it's your job is to show up. That's why, like, I always am careful when I do my interviews to not talk about, you know, we're working hard, we're doing this, because it's like, well, that's kind of the expectation. Your job is to go perform. And if you don't perform, you're going to take a bunch of heat for it. And we all signed up for that. And that's just the nature of the business, and fans have every right to do that. So when things aren't going well, especially when it's supposed to go well, you're going to get heat, and you got to deal with it. That's your job. The great thing is, though, it's like, to be honest, it's never really personal from fans. They just want to see their team win. So anything that they're getting right now, a few wins will solve that.
We're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. I understand you have compiled your power rankings. Let's get some music behind this here.
Oh, wow.
Top five? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to get to five because I think it's a pretty clear cut. Three.
Okay.
But I'm going to go Chiefs at one. I'm going to go Lions at two. I'm going to go Bills at three. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm going to go Steelers at four.
Wow.
Because they just win.
Yeah.
They just freaking win games. Like, I, you know, George Pickens, unreal, by the way.
He's
like, that guy is fun to watch. It's fun when he just, like, I don't know, last week when he just, like, tackled the guy on the other team for no reason. That was kind of fun. And then who's my fifth team? Man.
Ravens or maybe one of those other NFC teams?
I'm trying to think of an NFC team right now because it's not, like, man, who's got a really good record in the NFC?
You didn't say Philly. You didn't say Philly.
You know what? It's the Eagles. It's the Eagles at five. Yeah, it's the Eagles at five. That's my five. Congratulations. You have my first ever power ranking.
It honestly seems like a pretty accurate power ranking. I don't think I would be way different than you.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't really watch a whole lot of Lions football. My father-in-law is a big Lions fan. He's trying to get me to be a Lions fan, but every game they play, they're up by like 30 by the time I'm able to see what's going on, so I can't tell. You know, that's probably indicative of how good they are, but until I see it. You know, like I got Nico Collins on my fantasy football team right now, and I needed to lock into that game last night to see if I thought he was any good or not. I'm a big eye test guy.
Yeah, first play of the game, you thought you had some points right there, whether the man downfield screwed you over.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep him around, see what he's got, you know?
All right. Well, Vinny, we'll let you get back on the bike, man. We appreciate you taking a break out of the workout to talk some football.
Yeah. Hey, I can't make it next week. I'll be in Kansas City, but I'm getting the plate taken out of my thumb. So I will not be able to be on my phone next Tuesday. But so maybe Massey can call in. He might be on his honeymoon. He's getting married this weekend.
Oh, wow.
We'll figure it out.
Okay. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We will find a replacement for you, at least on this end.
But maybe Monday Night Football, somebody could tell me where to watch the game.
54th Street is where I heard a great spot.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
There you go. Vinny Pasquantino, our VFL insider. We'll have to text him some suggestions on that. How about that? That's obviously got to be exciting news for him just on the baseball front.
You've just been sitting with a
plate in your thumb and getting that removed next week. And then Massey's got his wedding, that sounds like, next week. So congrats to everybody involved in the next week or so. Good news for everybody involved with the Royals there. Also, I think if you're a Royals fan and 3 minutes ago, I guess it's been at this point before the power rankings, hearing him talk about how fans view professional athletes. I think if you're wondering, if you need to just put a prime example of why, and I'm not just saying this because he comes on our show, why people relate and love Vinny and he's a fan favorite. What he's a sports fan as well, so he gets it. Fans expect you to do the bare minimum.
Hard.
You know, like they expect
show
you at least
up and
to
try your job.
They expect you at least to do that, okay, and then go from there. And he also understands, like, fans ultimately, like, they're emotional. He's emotional as a Jets fan. Like, I just think it's refreshing to hear an athlete anytime like understand that aspect of it. That fans, of course, are going to root for you. When the team is doing well, and when they're not doing well, yeah, fans are going to be a little bit harder on you. That's how this thing works.
But I also, like, I think this is the easiest or the most difficult thing. The most difficult thing to understand as a fan that from a player's perspective is hard to explain, because I would say even on like a smaller scale, it's hard for us to explain that to anyone else versus like, because like we don't have a serious job. We have a job people might want. I imagine there are times when your team is bad. You got 97 losses. Last night, Calvary against UMKC, where it feels like a job. It feels hard to want to go to the office, put in every little piece of work, put in every, like, it's like any other, like, it's hard sometimes, even though it is a great career and a great thing to get to do for a living.
Yeah.
There are days in which it doesn't feel that way still. Mm-hmm. That's what I think, like, the McCarthy, when I talk about players quitting on a coach, that's what I think it is. They're not putting in the effort anymore that they were putting in when you were 40.
I do think the message just gets stale too. Like,
yeah, you know, I don't care. You're like, we can do this.
The best thing in terms of trying to shape your culture as a new head coach, whatever, is, of course, if you have, you know, fairly instant success. It doesn't always happen that way. I mean, look at the Chargers, right? Harbaugh's also just a great coach, but his, I don't want to call it shtick, but his, the way he operates, it goes a lot over a lot easier in the locker room because they had success right away. Like, you saw the video of Derwin James, who's been in that organization for a while with a bunch of other head coaches, and he's embraced it a lot quicker probably because they're winning. You know, I mean, just that solves so much when you're a brand new head coach and you step in and immediately you're winning. People just believe in the entire process more. Versus you come in, you're changing things, and the results aren't there right away. It's going to take much longer. That's why sometimes it doesn't work out.
I think that's what it is. The message is really tough. Could you imagine like going in there and being like, all right, if we do this, 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 and we're going to win this game this week, you're like, coach, Doug. Doug Peterson's the best example. It's like, Doug, that ain't going to happen. I don't know how to, like, your plan stinks. You got a different one? You got some alternate plan? Can we try a plan? Like there is a point when like a season just feels like cooked. McCarthy, look, Jerry Jones doesn't fire people midseason, so I don't think he'll fire McCarthy midseason. But he should fire McCarthy.
He's getting fired.
He had a playoff caliber, Super Bowl caliber team at times in Dallas as the head coach. And I know he lost Dak Prescott for part of the season, but it was going south long before Dak Prescott.
Ultimately, I mean, when you're the owner, you're not firing yourself, so the head coach is always going to get the blame. Mike McCarthy's made mistakes, but I also don't put this all on Mike McCarthy. Oh, this is an organization that made poor decisions, and as long as Jerry Jones is as hands-on as he is, and he will be in for the rest of his life, that organization is going to continue to struggle. We'll talk about this during All 32. I mean, they need to blow the entire thing up.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I don't know if it matters if Jerry Jones is still going to be as hands-on. And that he's not changing. That is who he is. It's why they haven't been to a Super Bowl in 30 years or whatever.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Dan Quinn the DC?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, his loss,
it's easy to pick on Mike McCarthy. Like, oh, he sucks. Like, he's made mistakes, there's no doubt. But I don't think this is all on him by any means. The guy did, up until this season, is going to have 12 wins in three straight years or something. I don't really put it all on him. But he, of course, will be the guy that gets fired.
This is obviously kind of like a perfect transition to this. I will give one local coach a lot of credit. Lance Leipold's bunch could have hung it up. They could have just laid down and died at Kansas. It'd have been real easy to just roll over and call it quits. And instead, they just had a top 10 upset, making it much more difficult for BYU to make the college football playoff. They got Colorado again this weekend, a team they can essentially eliminate from the college football playoff if they win at Arrowhead this weekend. Look, you can take it as a positive or negative. Positive is Lance Leipold's bunch didn't quit. And you can see the team that they assembled could have done a lot of winning.
Yeah, it's frustrating,
the
actually.
The flip side of that is like, damn it, this was a college football playoff caliber team talent-wise. And I think you could say the same thing about Missouri, the same thing about K-State, and none of them are going to make it. That becomes very annoying very fast. Kansas is the worst example of that because they're not even bowl eligible right now.
Right. They would have to win out. They got Colorado this weekend, and then they wrap up with Baylor. If they beat Colorado, I think they'll end up going to a bowl game. Baylor's not any good. But that happens a lot in sports in general, but certainly in college football. All these expectations get to a Big 12 title game, and then they, of course, lost a ton of close games. And now they're sitting and playing like the team we all thought they could have been, and it's too late for the bigger picture stuff. Now, is there any way they can salvage this thing and get to a bowl game? It'd be pretty impressive, actually, if they were able to do that, considering they just beat Iowa State. They beat BYU, and they'll have an opportunity. They're, what, 2.5-point underdogs against Dion and Colorado on Saturday at Arrowhead. And 2:30 game, the weather looks good. I'm considering going out to that one. I think there's at least a little bit of appreciation of what they're doing now that they're playing some better football. But we'll see. In general, as we said yesterday, it's been a disappointing college football year for all three locals because of the high expectations and the way the expanded playoff format looked. It looked like at least one of these locals was going to find a way in. K-State had the best chance 2 weeks ago, and they, of course, laid an egg against Arizona State, and Arizona State's playing well. And so now it looks like none of the locals, of course, are going to make the college football playoff. It's over. So that stinks.
Over on the YouTube chat, text line has started to take notice of your headphones as well. Drew's taped-up headphones.
Have your new ones come in?
I probably need to run down and check.
Drew's were taped. Mine aren't taped. It's just the left one just doesn't hold up against the
ear. Doesn't it annoy
you? It does. I'll get some eventually, but it's different than his were broken and he was duct taping.
It wasn't even using the right kind of tape. He was using like packing tape. That's terrible tape to tape something together with.
Well, I wanted something that would stick well, and I didn't have any like
duct tape. If you want something to stick well,
yeah, I didn't have duct tape. I had masking tape. Yeah.
Masking that like that's
did your headphones
sticky tape.
Have you they get lost in the mail or what happened? It's Tuesday. It should show up today.
I haven't checked. I don't know when they're supposed to come in.
The headphones were shipped to a radio station. You better make sure somebody else didn't take them. That they're just for the station, just for the building.
They did. I have your name on it. I would think that they had my name on it.
Yeah.
If not, I mean, I'll go down and check with Joe. I might even do that during the break here.
Go make sure you don't have a box downstairs.
Yeah.
Did you get a shipping notification or anything? Tracking number?
The person who bought it, I have not received a single thing from them.
So maybe they were all talk. Maybe they didn't actually order the headphones. We can't be sure.
Kind of funny, actually.
We can't be sure about that, right?
These are doing the job for right now, I guess.
Yeah. Thanks again to Vinny Pasquantino for joining us. But how about that? Yeah, get the plate taken out of his thumb next Tuesday, which I think that's the first time we knew that. Not that anybody was questioning whether or not he was going to be fully ready for next year or anything, but still... nice to hear that update from Vinny in regards to his rehab process. And think about that. It's November 19th. He's just now getting the plate taken out. He was playing in playoff baseball with the plate in back on, you know, October 7th or whatever it was.
Yeah. And think about how long he had to play with it. Like, this would just tell you, like, the coming back part of the injury is crazy. He's just playing with a plate in his thumb. Baseball. Like, some sports, like football, there are a lot of things, man. They'll just, like, tape you up, give you a whole ass club on your arm. They don't seem to care. They'll just like, they'll bandage you together to play a sport. Baseball, where you have to like field and swing and throw. I just feel like, and he had said, had they advanced past the Yankees, he was going to be back in the field. Like, I just don't even know how that works. Cause you've had played in your pinky, right?
Not play. I had pins. Much different. Okay. I had a couple pins. Most ridiculous broken bone to break my pinky back in the day. Yes, that did happen. Playing flag football. Thank you very much.
Plus, great to know that Vinny's staying in shape in the offseason, you know?
Yeah, he was out of breath.
He's getting his workout in.
He was on the bike, ready to go.
More people in the text line like, look, do I need to donate $9.60 for all of you? My headphones are fine. Thank you.
Yeah, mine are fine. I will get another pair.
Alex's are doing okay. He feels comfortable.
It was more that on video, Drew's were duct taped. And it was like, okay, we got to get you.
I hadn't noticed. It took us so long to notice how damaged your headphones
I've been taping them since probably September.
So many people texted in. They're like, wait, your station doesn't give them. I've worked at 3-4 different stations. That's how this works. It's not unique to us here or anything. The hosts always have their own headphones because everybody likes different ones. Some people like the earbuds. Yeah. Some people like the over-the-ear. Just kind of depends. Up next, though, we'll get back in to the Chiefs for a little bit. And one thing that was floating around yesterday around Patrick Mahomes, I just thought it was kind of interesting, the narrative around him right now, plus what is happening elsewhere in the AFC West.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.